There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello everyone and welcome to The Bubbling Adventure, a podcast all about kids and how positive education and conscious parenting can impact their entire life as well as society. I am your host, Julie, and each Thursday we are having conversations with guests on different themes, and our aim is to have open discussions, share different points of view, and learn in a non-judgmental way. If you can please take 1 minute to share this episode with someone, I would be so grateful because it truly helps. You can also write a review if you're listening from Apple Podcasts, click on the 5-star button on Spotify, and join us on Instagram at The Bubbling Adventure for daily positive education content. But now on to today's episode with our amazing guest, Alaina Fernandez, who is a best-selling author, international speaker, and self-made mom entrepreneur. She is best known for her award-winning blog, The Positive Mom, which has inspired millions of moms in over 160 countries to transform their grief into growth. And here are a few snippets.
But we don't look at these addictions that we create that sound really great. Like, oh, you love to work? That's awesome that you're so hardworking. You love to achieve things. That's amazing, but we hide. And so when you have a wounded inner child, those feelings that I talked about are exaggerated. So that happens in motherhood all the time. Sometimes our child comes and they just want ice cream. And then I call it the monster. I'm not going to apologize for being sad. I'm not going to apologize for maybe ignoring you because I was sad. I have really deep conversations with my 2-year-old, and she understands. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Cette chanson. Maman, papa, maman, papa.
Hi, Alaina. How are you today?
Oh, hi, Julie. I'm doing wonderful. So excited to be here.
Me too. Thank you so much for joining us today. Would you please introduce yourself for the audience?
Yes. Well, hi, everyone. My name is Alaina Fernandez, and I am the founder of thepositivemom.com, and I'm also the mom of 4 girls, 4 daughters, and guess what? They're 19, 18, 8, and 2. So I'm obviously very passionate about motherhood, and my mission in the world is to help moms find skills and strategies and steps to heal their trauma so that they can be positive, present, and peaceful moms.
Well, that sounds amazing. And also a lot of work with 4 girls at home, right? So we're going to talk about that. But I guess what sparked all of that as your interest? Can you please tell us about your life journey? Because obviously
there's a lot there, so please.
Yeah. Yeah, you know that there's a saying that in your pain is where you find your purpose. So mm-hmm. There's a lot of truth to that, because, you know, having been a multiple trauma survivor, I'm really on a life journey to find why all of this happened to me, but from a different perspective, because we usually say, why is this happening and why me? And I think that it's not a bad question to ask. There's always a reason that goes beyond, but it's not something that we find just by asking about it. And so we'll get back to that. But, you know, this journey really started for me about many, many years ago. Let's just say that. Not good at math, but I actually was in a coma for 8 days. And so in this coma, I was seeing my body and I was having an out-of-body experience. And that was the first moment that I realized that I needed to process my pain. Because my life, I was 19 years old, and my life had been just so painful. I had tried to commit suicide. I had felt like my life was just a mistake. I had this voice in my head that told me, you know, this is never going to change. You're always going to be in pain. And so in the coma, I noticed that I had never actually taken time to even process this. And that's how my journey started, with processing pain, because I grew up in the Dominican Republic in a slum, in extreme poverty, in extreme dysfunction as well. And so my life was every day just trying to survive. And it was kind of a fighting for my life and wanting my life to end. It was this zigzag, like, today I'm going to be very motivated, and tomorrow it's like, I give up, I can't do it anymore. And that is a lot for a child to go through. Mm-hmm. And so at 19 years old, I actually looked at that just my positivity, and again, I'm the positive mom, right? But my positivity was toxic. I had been just trying to be grateful and trying to strive and learning and working and numbing my pain with all of these principles that were good and also were a distraction for me. And so I realized, especially as moms, that being busy sometimes is a trauma response. And slowing down, right? Yeah. Slowing down, I had to slow down because I'm in a coma. I can't do anything, right? So, but that's what allowed me, you know, to really see, wow, there's so much pain here and I need to honor that. And so I started my journey to really understand what my pain is bringing to me. And now I help other moms just really lean into their pain, because you will find the gratitude, you will find the learning, and you will find the positive things that are there to teach you. But it takes first that courage to lean into the pain.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And it's tough and it's very brave to do that as well. So I also think that sometimes it takes, you know, it takes time, but it also comes when you're strong enough to handle it. Because sometimes you could think, oh, I should have done that before, but maybe before was not the right time. So sometimes it takes a while, but
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I have been thinking about is that even though I've been on that journey for a long time, it wasn't until a few years ago, 20 years, it took me to write my most painful story. Mm-hmm. And when I decided to write that story and, you know, just face it. It took me 8 months. I mean, I'm a writer. I write 5,000 words in like 1 minute. That's an exaggeration, but I just love to write, you know? And I've been blogging for 18 years now. But that particular thing was so hard, Julie. My heart just hurt with every word that I wrote. Mm-hmm. And I had to write it, not type it. I had to write it on a notebook. And I had to really sit with myself. And if I wrote 10 minutes a day, was a lot. And it took me 8 months to write this story. It was a lot of healing, but like you said, I was already ready for it. And it took me 20 years. So yes, we do need to do these things. They're good for us. And also there's something that is even better for us. That's called self-compassion. Mm-hmm. Not blaming ourselves, not adding all these shoulds, and not really beating ourselves up for not knowing what we didn't know, not, you know, doing what we didn't know was necessary, because we look at things in hindsight and it's easy to see it as a third person, but it's really hard when you're in the middle of it and your heart hurts and you have so much anxiety and you have so many things coming at you. So I really love what you said about that.
Thank you for sharing also your journey. It's tough, and yeah, it takes a lot of courage to do. But so I also like the fact that you said about, you know, that you can overdo it with positivity, because I think this is also something in today's society, right? It's like all about productivity, all about positivity, which is good and we need it. And obviously, if you only focus on the negative, it's not going to work either, but you kind of need to process your emotions truly. And I've had it before where I would be so busy all the time just so that it would kind of erase my triggers and and just like, so I would have zero time to think. And I thought I had it all together. And when it stops, for me, it was COVID. And you're like, I can't do anything now, but what's going on? I have flashbacks, I have this, it's not going well. Like, ooh, it was a bit too much, but yeah, I thought I had it all together. Little did I know that, no, not at all. But
I thank you for sharing that. You're so vulnerable. And I love that, because, you know, whenever we find ourselves overdoing something and not taking a moment, it's really hard for us to know what's behind the scenes. And when we look back, it's not really, I love, you know, in the gentle way that you share it, because it's not really to say, hey, I should have been different, but wow, I'm glad that I found a different way. And also, I know my tendency now. I know that if I start to get busy again, then I kind of can watch now as a, you know, as a, an enlightened being now, now that I have this light, now that I have this information, this is something that I can watch. And we are very similar, because, you know, we always look at addiction as something that is destructive, very obviously destructive, right? But we don't look at these addictions that we create that sound really great. Like, oh, you love to work? That's awesome that you're so hardworking. You love to achieve things? That's amazing. You love to learn? That's fantastic, right? But we hide behind these positive things because, you know, and it has the same purpose as any other addiction. So, you know, that's something that we need to be very, I would say, just compassionate about, is that we all have our own way of coping and our own way of numbing our pain, and that we do what serves us in that moment. And that's what those are, you know. And it's easy for us to judge somebody else how they cope, because then we don't have to look at how we're coping. So if, you know, my daughter is coping by sweeping a lot, she doesn't cope like that. But just
as
say,
an example.
Yes, but as an example, then, you know, I'm going to think that washing the dishes is okay, but it is just really being aware, because as we are compassionate of ourselves and recognize how we deal with our pain, that's going to help us be compassionate of how other people are processing theirs. And to know that even if this looks like a destructive thing, it's really how they're keeping alive. Because when you look back at Julie prior to COVID, this is what kept you alive. This is what kept you going. And it is something that we do unconsciously, mm-hmm. because we don't know another way in that moment. And so it's like, oh, I was such a baby and I thought that that was going to serve me. But now I've grown and I'm a toddler and now I have a different way. And then I will continue to grow. So that sense of compassion that, you know, we are just unfolding that journey.
Yeah, this is very true. I agree with everything you said. And so I've read a few articles from your blogs that they're all really fascinating. And you also speak about, you know, the inner child. And I think that maybe some people wouldn't know what it is. So can you please give us your definition and, you know, why it's important?
Yeah, so thank you so much for asking that. You know, it's something that I'm very passionate about, because I think that I nurture my inner child every day. I didn't feel like I had a childhood, and many of us can relate to that. But it's not really, doesn't really have to do with your childhood per se. Even if you thought that you had the most amazing childhood, didn't grow up in a slum, you know, had supportive mom and dad, really there are three motivations within ourselves. And those motivations are going to be showing up throughout the day consciously, if you are conscious about it, but unconsciously if you don't know about it. And those are your inner child, which is the part of you that feels all of the emotions. And if we think about the emotions, you know, very basic: sadness, fear, joy or happiness, and then terror or being scared, and also being angry. So if you think about those, then we have the adolescent, which is going to be the reactive part of yourself, the part that's asserting its place in the world. And then we're going to have the inner adult or parent, which is more of a wiser, guiding presence for yourself. So you have all of those parts within yourself. And basically, it's the development of your nature. And with the inner child, when you have a wounded inner child, which means that part has been hurt, and it could be hurt by abuse, but it could also be hurt by neglect.
Yeah.
And you know, it doesn't mean that you were hurt in a very overt way. It could be a very covert way in which you didn't really receive what you needed. And so when you have a wounded inner child, those feelings that I talked about are exaggerated. So instead of sad, you are devastated, right? When something happens, you really react to it in a very sensitive way, because your inner child feels it very deeply. And so you are devastated. When you are joyful, then it's like, whoa, 100%. And you have to feel that adrenaline, right? And you like extreme situations. Also, when you're angry, then you have a very, very, very angry, like very heightened anger. And when you feel fear, you're just in horror, very, very scared, very terrorized. And so there's this thing that we call the 90-10 rule. And the 90-10 rule means that 90% of the time, if you have a wounded inner child, you're going to react from that wound. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be triggered. 10% of the time, you're reacting about the very thing that is happening. So that happens in motherhood all the time. Sometimes our child comes and they just want ice cream, you know, and it's like, mom, mom, mom. And they say mom and mom. And it's not that they're saying mom and they want ice cream. It's that you had a wound within you that was triggered in that moment. And then I call it the monster. After, you know, from that 90% of triggers that are within you, the monster comes out. And it's like, what do you want? So anything that we do, and then we feel guilty about it because we don't know where that even came from, because it doesn't feel like it's warranted. But it's because we haven't taken the moment to process those feelings, to honor those emotions. And so the inner child is going to show up, the wounded side of the inner child. But you also have an inner child that is pure and whimsical and has wonder, curiosity, creativity. So when we activate that side of the inner child, we, by association or by effect, we are reducing the sensitivity of the inner child. And when you think about what's called, what many people call the inner critic, is usually an inner adolescent. Because the inner adolescent knows who you are and is usually shaming your inner child. You're weak. You didn't do it right. Why didn't you react this way? Or why did you react this way? And so you have that inner dialogue all the time. And so when we are conscious about it, then we can activate what's called the inner parent, which is our ability to parent ourselves, to be our own guides and to see things as they are. Like, okay, I reacted like that with my child because my own child was wounded. What would I do now if I were the wise parent to myself? I could take 5 minutes and, you know, do some coloring. That's a good way to do, you know, put on a song that makes me happy. I could read a little bit of a book. I could just imagine myself on vacation. I could recharge and activate that magical side of me. And then I can come out and apologize to my child and say, honey, it wasn't about you. I'm, you know, feeling really overwhelmed right now. Mommy needs a hug and mommy needed 5 minutes. And so when that child feels also upset, they know that they need 5 minutes as well.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Because we're modeling these things to our children. They know that they can have a moment in which they show their emotions, that it's safe, that they can apologize if there was some kind of something that needs to be apologized for their behavior, not for the emotion, right? Yeah. I'm not gonna apologize for being sad. I'm not gonna apologize for maybe ignoring you because I was sad. Because that is the part. But to let our children know we are humans, we're learning. I reacted in this way because I was afraid or I was sad or I was stressed out. This is how I want to react in the future because now I access that inner parent. And this is what I did to calm myself. I went and colored this picture. Let's color a picture together so that you can also have some fun right now. So these are tools that can help us really understand that we are not one dimensional. That, you know, when I think about those moments where I really didn't show up as the mom that I wanted to be, that I don't feel like, oh, I'm the worst mom ever. But you know what? That part of me needs a lot of love and needs to show up more. I'm going to, you know, create a routine every day in which I can nurture that part of me and I can heal it.
I love that. But I really like what you said about, you know, feeling guilty sometimes after snapping. And that happens to absolutely everyone, as you mentioned, because we all have things to heal from, everyone. Yeah. Even if you think you had a perfect childhood, there's always something there, something to process. So I really like that. And also the fact that, as you mentioned, these activities that you can do, or just, you know, it can be just a few seconds or a few minutes, or it doesn't have to be anything fancy or anything, you yeah. know, like expensive or whatever. It's just because sometimes, depending on what the person is into, you know, you think that you need to do something specific, but it doesn't have to be. Just give yourself the space and the time to take a deep breath and think yeah. about it. But I also love the fact that it all comes down to self-awareness, mm-hmm. because you need to be aware of yourself and stop the cycle and be like, okay, what do I need right now?
Yeah.
You know, and then how do I apologize?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I love that you said that, you know, because that's something that I like to always tell my moms, you know, I am a single mom, and I remember when my 19 and 18 year old girls, you know, they were one and two, and I was working, I don't know, 50, 60 hours per week, mm-hmm. trying to create my own business and having these two toddlers and no family, no friends, no support, and just feeling really defeated. Because I felt like I wanted to be there with my children, but I had to also provide mm-hmm. as the sole provider. And so I discovered that in those 2 minutes or 5 minute increments of time, I could really do a lot of things for myself. Like, you know, it didn't have to be a ton of time. And there's she's a neuroanatomist. Her name is Jill Bolte-Taylor. Look her up. She's awesome. And she says that it takes 90 seconds to process and ride the wave of those unpleasant emotions. So in 2 minutes, you can process a whole range of things, and it doesn't have to cost you any money. It doesn't have to be a lot of time. And the one thing that I'm going to say that is required is that you engage your mind, your body, and your spirit. Because sometimes, you know, people like to say, like, just say affirmations. Yeah, that's good. But make sure that your posture is engaged. Make sure that, you know, you do it with emotional intention. So you gotta engage all of those parts of yourself in order to be effective. If you just sit there and don't engage your body, because somatic, the somatic language, the emotional language of your body is so important. And that's why, you know, the writing, the coloring, the movement, the posture is so necessary for healing.
For sure. You know, earlier today, actually, I was feeling very upset for something quite small, but I felt so upset. And, you know, as I was doing it, I was thinking, come on, you know, like there's no need to feel, to be in that state for something, you know, it's not that bad. But I went downstairs and I just kicked a punching bag, and suddenly, you know, it only takes a couple kicks, but you find yourself smiling.
Yeah.
Like, ha, I feel better.
I love it. I'm so proud of you.
But it's just little things. Like, it can be anything, but just something that makes you smile. And yeah, you find yourself, because again, I guess kicking something is also the posture, as you said, or, you know, like you feel like you're strong. So absolutely. I was just like smiling suddenly, like, oh, I felt better. So it can be anything, dancing on your favorite song, like you said earlier, or like,
well, you know, I do the hula hoop.
I do the hula hoop.
That's something that I love doing as a child. So, and it's great exercise.
It is.
So, you know, so anything that really engages your body, it is, you know, jumping the trampoline, and especially when the kids love it, because then you are doing something that the whole family can be engaged in, and it's beneficial for you, but it's fun for them. So it's a win-win. But I want to touch on something that you said, like you were saying, this is so small. And that's something that we do all the time, is minimize and invalidate ourselves, minimize how we're feeling. My mentor, his name is Gabor Mate. He has a quote that I, you know, I live by every single day. And it's, trauma is not what happened to you. It's what happens inside of you as a result of what happened to you. So, you know, I told you, you know, I have been through many traumatic experiences. And that one that I was sharing before, I was kidnapped. I was assaulted. And it, you know, not only did he assault me, he told me that he was going to also kill me. And so this experience happened when I was 19 years old. And I remember just feeling so horrible in every single day of my life, just feeling like my life was over. And people kept telling me, like, but you survived. That's a miracle. Like, there's so much to be grateful for right now, because you're here with us. And I didn't want to be grateful. I wanted to grieve. And so when I tell people like that I've been through that, it's like, oh yeah, I haven't been through anything like that. And they immediately put their pain so small compared to mine, when there are other things that could take people to the same state, and we don't have to measure it. You know, it could be that, you know, you know, like a bird just smashed your car window and you could probably feel the same way that I felt, because again, it's 90% of what is triggering, and it's not really about the window. And so whatever you're going through, as small as it seems, it's not about that thing. As big as it seems, it's not about that thing. Take care of what is happening inside you, because that is what it's about. Forget the thing that caused you to feel that way and focus on you. Let's stop, you know, thinking about how big the trauma is and how little the trauma is. And let's focus about having trauma. I am experiencing something that feels traumatic. I need something. What do I need? I'm going to get what I need. That's our, that's the focus that we need to, I get really excited about this, because
No, it's very interesting. I love it.
Yeah. It is all about how we feel, and it's mm-hmm. valid. If you feel it, it's valid.
Mm-hmm. I think now also I know that there's not like much that I can do, as in like, you know, when you feel upset, it's like, as you said, I can try to do positive affirmations, but because I don't really believe it in that moment, it's probably yeah. even worse mm-hmm. to, because then yes. your brain is like, no. So,
yeah.
So it's actually maybe not recommended, but
exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Process it.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because we're putting pain on pain mm-hmm. because now we feel guilty that we feel it. And now we exactly. feel guilty that we can't get rid of it, which is why I don't subscribe. I'm all about positive thinking, but I don't subscribe to the thought that we control our thoughts. Our thoughts just come. Our feelings just come. They just bubble up, especially the triggers. And mm-hmm. so do we have then the power to choose and reject? Sometimes instantly. Sometimes I can think like, oh, you know what? Maybe you're better off dead. I think that all the time. I'm not even, you know, exaggerating, mm-hmm. but I can say like, oh, whatever.
Just go like, away. Let it go. Like a little bit like meditation, right? Like
yeah.
you're just aware of your thoughts without attaching yourself to it. Yeah. And just, yeah. Because yeah. you know also that voice is not you. It's,
yeah.
it's just there. It's your ego more than yeah, anything
exactly.
else speaking, or your
inner adolescent. It's yeah. a part of you. It's a part of you. It's not you. And so I can choose it. I can say no. But if I linger with it, I'm not going to blame myself. I'm going to be like, okay, is this serving me right now? And maybe I won't reject it right away, but I can reject it 10 minutes after. So I do have power. I do have power to choose and reject and ignore. And with that, I'm going to be compassionate of myself, because I'm not in control. Control is an illusion. And so I can just work with it and do what I can and ask for help if I can't. That's another valid thing. If I feel that the thoughts just won't go away and I feel that my power is weak right now, which happens, then it's okay to say, hey, Julie, I'm feeling like this is not going away. Can you please help me process it?
Mm, yeah. I mean, this is very important. Whether it's a friend or someone you know or a therapist, just like, I think especially now we have so many options, and the fact that you don't need to go there physically like you used to, and you can get some yeah. help online and so on. I think it's definitely great, because so it was probably a barrier for many people to have to go there physically, sit in a waiting room. You yeah. know, I think it requires even more strength and so on. So I feel like now yeah. it's great that you have so many different options to get help from, and you don't even have to leave yeah. your comfort space. So
yeah, I love great. That. And you know, in really being honest about this conversation, about how we're really not in control of anything. I mean, you know, everything around us is really unfolding, and we're part of this flow, but our thoughts and emotions are going to come and go. So when we empower ourselves to know that sometimes they're just going to stay, it really changes the conversation, because then you know that it's okay to ask for help, and actually it's the responsible thing to do. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a very strong thing to do. And all this stigma about asking for help really goes away. And so yeah. that's why we need to stop, you know, minimizing pain, because, you know, I'll tell you, my daughter, she experiences anxiety.
Hmm.
And there was a part of me that didn't understand it in the beginning, because yeah. if you look at how she's being raised, like I've told her all of the things, right? You're beautiful, you're amazing, you know, and it's like, where does this come from? I could have chosen to tell her that and be like, why are you anxious? Like, you have all these things going for you.
You don't get to be anxious.
Yeah, you should be grateful. I could have chosen that, but one of the things that she shared with me is that she's always felt safe, that whatever she's experiencing, you know, she knows I'm not going to invalidate it. And that is so key. Like, when a pet peeve of mine, for example, is like, Julie, you tell me, hey, I'm feeling depressed today. And I'm going to be like, what happened? Why? Mm. And it's like, there doesn't need to be a reason, or, you know, it's not even relevant. You tell me you're depressed and I say, I'm here for you. You want to talk? What would be helpful? Mm-hmm. Those are the questions that we need to ask and not minimize, like, why would you be anxious? Why would you be depressed? But you have beautiful kids, but you have a beautiful this, but you have so much going on for you. And you know what? That doesn't matter. What matters is what that person is feeling, and to offer help and to be a safe space for them. Mm-hmm. Because it's not even them. It's one part of them. It's their inner child is wounded and triggered. And so having a safe, stable, nurturing person is a kryptonite to those feelings. And that's what strive to be to that person.
Yeah, but also because it comes in so many different shapes and forms for different people where you can't control it. Like, as you said, it's just thoughts that come into your brain. And sometimes there's days where for some reason it gets worse than others, and there is no particular reason, as you just said. So it's very interesting. And that's also why, maybe, as you said at the beginning, you didn't really understand it as well. It's because it comes in so many different ways for different people, that maybe you had an idea of what was anxiety, and then on your daughter's, like, slightly different. And so you're just here to learn. So
yes,
it's fascinating.
Because we don't experience it because of the same way. It's like our ideas are about ourselves. We have, you know, I have these reading glasses that, you know, that happens after you're 40.
No, I have some already, no.
And so, you know, everything looks different when you have a filter, and we all have our own filter. And for me, it's like, I lived in extreme poverty and that was my thing. Mm-hmm. But that's not the only way that these things are created, you know? And I lived in a very, very abusive home. And so that created some things, but that's not the only way. Again, it's not about that. It's about here. Mm-hmm. It's about how you feel. And when you honor your pain, then your pain teaches you. And then you can be positive. It's not when you dishonor your pain. You're just lying to yourself with positivity. You're just using what I call motivational guilt, because you're going to motivate yourself and then feel guilty anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that.
I know it too. That's how we learn, right?
Yes. Is there any last advice? I know you provided so many great, you know, food for thoughts, and thank you for that. But maybe any last advice for parents and future parents listening?
Yeah, I think, you know, the main advice that I can give is to be there for your child and to be real for your child. Because one of the things that we try to be is to become this super mom or super parent or perfect parent. And it is very damaging for children. And so when, you know, of course, everything is done within age appropriateness, of course. Mm-hmm. You're not going to share your whole life with your child. But to present yourself as a real person that experiences pain, that doesn't have it all together, like you said, you know, and to say, you know what, I'm wondering that, I'm trying to find the answer, I'm feeling anger right now. This is how I want to manage it. And have an honest, real conversation with your child. They are underestimated. I have really deep conversations with my two-year-old, and she understands. She, I think, understands me more than I understand myself, to be honest.
Yeah, they can feel it, can they?
It's yeah, they are very in tune. So, you know, honor your child that way, because then they're going to be able to see you not as this God that should be perfect, but as this human that is also learning. And I learn from my children every day, the biggest and the smallest. And it is a very sacred experience. And I'm a better person because I listen to them. Not because I tell them what to do, but because I involve them in an honest conversation. So I think, you know, having that, not in a way that you put the responsibility, your emotional responsibility on them, but in a way that they are participating in the dialogue and that they know that you're learning, you're trying to figure it out, but you do, you know, you love them and you also honor them. And lastly, my question for my kids, do you feel loved? Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's good to have that check-in once in a while and know if you're giving them exactly the love that they need, because obviously we all need different loves. Yes. And at different times as well, it can change. But yeah, sometimes they're going to say, yeah, I really just need a hug right now, or, you know, something like that. So yeah. I think it's so great to have that possibility to do better if it wasn't 100%, or keep going if you're on the right track. So love that advice. Thank you so much for sharing that, Elena. I will leave all of your links in the description box, obviously, so that everyone listening can just go and check it out right now. But thank you so, so much for all the amazing ideas and knowledge and just insights that you have provided today. I really enjoyed this episode. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Julie. It's been an honor, and I'm just delighted to have this conversation with you.
Thank you so much for listening. Feel free to share if you think it might be helpful to someone you know. If you enjoyed this episode, then please make sure to write a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, and subscribe if you haven't already. That's it for me. See you soon with the next episode. And in the meantime, have a lovely day.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.